So, again, every year, you know, there's always the quandary of, you know, on Hanukkah, whether to speak about Hanukkah or whether to speak about the regular topic. I've been probably, you know, somewhat inconsistent on. Usually, if they ask me in advance to speak about Hanukkah, I will. But, you know, no one asked me this time, I guess, because last week I had Sheva Brachos. But, you know, it's always a bit of an issue to weigh. I always like to explain for Hanukkah reasons. Because, you know, really the truth is that the yisod of Hanukkah is the idea. Again, it's a very unusual thing to have, to celebrate a miracle, you know, by doing or adding, you know, a mitzvah, even if the mitzvah is related, you know, to the miracle. It's basically unprecedented. The Maral, in his discussion of Hanukkah, makes this ha'ara. He says, and others as well, like, where do you find that a mitzvah, you know, is the basis for, projecting, you know, Shevach v'hoda on a nes. But the truth is that this is particularly appropriate because the real celebration of Hanukkah, you know, is of course about the Nes Pach Shemen, and of course it's about the Nes of the Milchama, and so on. But it's really about celebrating the resumption of Jewish life, you know, in a more normal fashion. Because the reason that there was a need for a battle to begin with, and Klal Yisrael were Moser Nefesh to put themselves in a state of sakana, was because the spiritual mediocrity of simply saying Yavor V'Alye Horeg again and again and again, you know, was an unacceptable lifestyle, you know, for people, you know, that has to aspire, you know, to great things and to Avodas Hashem. So in a way, all those gzeros, you know, that triggered, you know, the war to begin with, which in turn, was kind of highlighted by the resumption of life in the Beis HaMikdash, were really waged so that Klal Yisrael could resume a full and rich life of Limud HaTorah and Shmiras HaMitzvos. So I think, on the other side of the coin, that's why, you know, it's sometimes a good thing to have the regular shiur on Hanukkah. You know, and if you explain why, then you've done both things at the same time. So, okay. So with that in mind, we'll continue with the chulin shiur. There's of course more to talk about in terms of Hanukkah, but that's for another talk. Okay. So like we were discussing the Gemara in chulin on the base. Again, we're starting to go straight. We'll go more rapidly now. We discussed the issue of Tmura, we discussed the issue of Nadarim, and now we're up to discussing a little bit something that comes up here. It's considered to be an important makar for this topic, and that is the concept of Tumah and Tahara in the framework of Chulin. That's a massive topic. We're not going to do it extensively, but I want to spend at least tonight discussing some of the basic issues. So it comes up here in the following context. After having gone through several explanations of the Mishnah, Hakol Shochtin, right, Ushkitasan Kshera, so the Gemara is still seeking, right, a good explanation, like what is the scenario that justifies seemingly conflicting language, you know, in this matter. So the Gemara says, well, maybe we can talk, maybe the Hekatimtzi is as follows. Says the Gemara here, Amar Rabba Bar Ula, here on Beisum and Beis Hachi Katani, Hakol Shochtin refers to Afilu Tamei Bechulin. That the Hakol Shochtin, you know, which is a lechatchila, is even somebody who is ritually impure. He's Tamei, right? Even if he's Tamei, right, he is permitted to do the act of Shechita, right? So the Gemara says here, this is the key line, Tamei b'chulin ma'ila memra. If we're talking about chulin and not kadshim, then what significance is there to the fact that he's tamei? In other words, if the Gemara is trying to, if the Mishnah is trying to teach us something, namely that, you know, you might not have known, but the fact is that a Tameh can be Shochet Chulin, right? There's no Chiddush in it if the whole concept of Tumah V'Tahara doesn't register when it comes to Dvarim Shochulin. So that's the key line. These are the key words. The Gemara says, Tameh B'Chulin Ma'ilu Memra. I mean, what does Tumah have to do with Chulin? So the Gemara's answer is, I'll read the whole Taka Tarya first. The Gemara says, oh, it's Bechulin Shanasu Al Taras HaKodesh. So there was something called Chulin Shanasu. Actually, we're several levels of this. You should just be aware. You know, we'll talk about it for a few minutes. There were a group of very strict, rigorous, disciplined individuals called themselves Prushim, right, who tried to keep themselves in a state of Tahara. They were Nizhar, to always be in a state of Tahara, to eat their Chulin B'Tahara. And that was a group called the Purushim. Chaverim, Prushim. That required a lot of effort, I can tell you. And then, in addition to that, there was a group that was interested not only in remaining Tahar, but in assuming additional chumras, additional stringencies, to treat their chulin as if it was taras hakodesh, and there were actually two different types: one chulin al taras truma. Some of them treated their chulin not just b'tahara, but according to the standards of tahara that applied to truma. Others chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh. I think Rashi explains it. If you look here in a minute, 1 second, Rashi says, Shanas al Taras HaKodesh, the Kibel Aleha Lecho B'Taras Kodesh. She wrote, Salahargil Atzmo B'Taras Kodshim, Shem Yochal Shlamim, Otoda Yehe Baki B'Shmirasa. So the reason that they would do this is because they wanted to be adept at this, so that when they needed it, they'd be able to do it, right? So they wanted to get in some exercise, practice, in Chulin Al Taras HaKodesh. And this, the Kasabar, says the Gemara, Chulin Shanas Al Taras HaKodesh, is Kekodesh Dam. And Rashi explains, V'chayiv Hibadel, we'll get back to this, Midrabanan, right? And Midrabanan is a Didrabanan, not a Didaraisa. So they're obligated to avoid, in other words, being metame, as if the food that they were eating was kachim, the kultumas aposas behen, v'afilahachi lechatchila, right, shachit tami lechatchilo b'sakan aruka kedem mefarish. Now again, what you have to understand is that we'll get to this in a second, but more specifically, but the rules of tumah v'tahara are such that there are again levels. We've talked about this in the past, right? There's a a mace is an aviavosatoma, and then you have avatomas of various types. Shvatzim and a mace and a zav and a mishkavazav. That's called avatoma. That's kishmo kenu. That's like the source of tuma. Then you have levels of transmission or contact. So you have a rishon b'tuma, sheni b'tuma, shlishi b'tuma, revi'i b'tuma, chamishi b'tuma. These are all different levels in the hierarchy. But the rule is that chulin can only absorb the level of sheni, up to the level of sheni. Meaning, even though chulin doesn't become tameh, it absorbs the contamination of tuma so that if it then becomes in contact, it then comes in contact with either truma, which can absorb up to shlishi, or kadshim, which can absorb up to revi, or maybe mechatos, which can absorb even higher, right? So that communicates or transmits, from one to the other. So the rule is that that's what kind of Rashi is referring to, that the people who are nizar to be shomer, chulin, al-tahara, sakodesh, were different than the people who were just prushim. The prushim were just wanted to make sure that they treated their chulin. They didn't allow their chulin to become tame. But for example, beyond to come in contact with a sheni betuma, which if it had been truma or kadshim would make it a shlishi betuma. Even the prushim didn't care about that when it came to chulin. But the people who treated their chulin as altaris hakodesh or altaris truma, they were going that extra, step, and they were treating their chulin not as chulin, not just safeguarding their chulin from tuma, right? Because that, has its limits in terms of the ability to get that contagion or whatever you want to call it, to attain that status. They were treating their chulin as if it was truma in some cases or kadshim in other cases. And the question is whether or not that kabbalah midrabanan, that hischaivus of treating chulin, right, as kadshim or as truma, does that work or not? Does the halacha, even on the rabbanan level, does it acknowledge or recognize that status? Or it says, you can do whatever you want, but there's no din drabanan even. That's the Gemara saying. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah is talking about chulin shanasu al taras hakodesh. I'm talking about people who committed to treating their chulin as if it was kodesh. Right? And nonetheless, and therefore, if they're tamei, right, you have to be concerned that they're going to violate that particular, rabbinic commitment. And nonetheless, we allowed them to do shechita with a sakin aruka, with a long knife, so that they personally would not be coming in contact with the basa. Now, why the kli that they used wouldn't be a problem in terms of transmitting tuma, that we'll get back to on the bottom of the page. But for now, that's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara says that, one more time, let me read this. So the Gemara says, Amar Abba Bar Ula, Hachik Fani Hakol Shokhin Afilu Tamei Bechulin. Even a Tamei Bechulin is allowed to Lechatchila to be Shokhin. The Gemara asks, Tamei Bechulin Maila Memra. Right, what do you mean, Tamei Bechulin? Tamei Tuma has no role. That's what the Gemara seems to say, to play in Tuma. The Gemara answers, "Bechulin shenasu al taras hakodesh for kasavar chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh ke kodesh dam." Hard few lines on the Gemara, but that's what it means. And then the Gemara says, "Ketzad hu osa," meaning if it is chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh and it's ke kodesh, then how can he yishecht? And he's going to be betame the basar. The answer is maybe sakin aruka. He'll use a long knife, the shochet ba, and he'll use that for shkita. Kedei shelo yiga b'basar. But if we were talking about actual kadshim, not the exercise, but the real thing, ubin mukdashim, then lo yishchot, lechatchila, he should not do the shkita, because even though he's using a long knife, we're a little worried, we're paranoid a little bit. Shema yiga b'basar. We're afraid that he's going to contact the basar, even if he doesn't, even if he takes these steps, we're not willing to risk it, because that's daraisa kadshim. However, im shachat v'yomer bar elisha lo nagati, afilu b'chulin, gredi, right, dieved, nami lo, shema yishu, shema yidrasu, shema yach. I'm sorry, bar elisha lo nagati, shkitasa k'sheira, chit m'sher shchot v'katan, afilu b'chulin, gredi, dieved, nami lo, shema yishu, shema yidrasu, shema yachlidu. But so in other words, if he says, I'm sure that everything went smoothly, that I didn't come in contact with the basar, even in kachim, we would believe him. But that's how to read the Mishnah. It's a very remarkable, I've said this before already, because we had to skip ahead for this when we were talking about the Gemara and Daf Yud Zayin. It's very remarkable that the Gemara thought, and the Gemara itself says it's remarkable, and the Rambam thought it was remarkable, and anybody would think it's remarkable, that the Mishnah in the Chulin, the first Mishnah in Chulin, is talking about such a specific, very rare case. That's already remarkable. Okay? But what's significant to us in our travels so far, as I've said before, is that we spent quite a bit of time trying to understand where Shkita comes from. And trying to suggest that, it does come from the world of Kanshin. So the idea that the first Mishnah in Masachet Chulin dealing with Shkita would deal really with Shkita's Kachim or with a Drabanan permutation of Shkitas Kadshim, you know, even though it is very rare, is very poetically appropriate. Right? Because that's where Shkita comes from. Okay? So that's the Gemara. The Gemara says, but Shkher Shad V'Katan, that's not going to work, because we're always worried about some problem. The Kul Sheshach Tohai, Ilei Ma Shkher Shad V'Katan, Alokai, Im Shachtu Mi Boi, Ela Tomei B'Chulin, says the Gemara, Amr S'chatchil Nami Shachin, Ela Tomei B'Mukdashim. If we're talking about Tomei B'Mukdashim, the Gemara says, then B'Borali Tzagi. As long as the guy says, I know I didn't touch it, you know, and I used my long knife, that the Gemara says we believe it. So the Gemara says the b'di'evit would be, even if he said it, right, that you would rely, the lasik kamand in the shayli. Let's say he did the shkita and then he's off. We don't have a chance to interview him. You know, we didn't give him a post shkita interview. So we never asked him what happened. And then we rely on it. And then the Gemara concludes, the Gemara says, Hai tami b'mukdashim yacha nafka. Again, you can understand the Gemara's question in a narrower way. The Gemara is saying you need to talk in the first Mishnah of Chulin about Kadshim. Right? The way I was saying it before was in a more conceptual way. You know, we're talking about Kadshim or Chulin. Does Shechita belong to one or the other or to equally to both? Right? The Gemara could just be asking in a narrower way that, well, we have this din in a Mishnah in Zvachim, which says, Kol ha'psulim sheshachtu shechitasim k'sheira, sheshachita k'sheira b'zarim. Benoshim, Bavonim, Betmeim, Bafil Kodshe Kadashim, Umavad, Shlo Yutmeim, Nogim, Bebasar. There's a Mishnah in Zvachim that says clearly that B'dieved, a Tamei, can do the Shkita as long as he's not Metamei the Bebasar. Says the Gemara, Hacha Ikar, Hasam, Aidi, Detana Shar Psulin, Taminami B'mukdashim. Again, that's quite remarkable. Again, that the main makar of the din of Tamei, Sheshachad, Kadshim, is the first Mishnah in Chulin. And it's just mentioned again there, agav urcha. Or, ibay sein bahasam ika de kadshim kai, hacha aydi de tani tami bechulin, tani nami tami bimukrashim. Okay, that's the Gemara. And then we'll get to the question why the sakin isn't betame. The basar, we'll get to that afterwards, probably not today, probably when we continue next week, unless we do get to it today. Okay, that's the shakavatari of the Gemara. For our purposes, the first thing I want to talk about is this line in the Gemara and its implication. When the Gemara originally said, well, maybe the case, maybe the scenario is that a Tamei is doing the Shkita of the Chulin, the Gemara says, Tamei b'Chulin mai lememra. Meaning, what does Tuma have to do with Chulin? Right? These are two, you know, unrelated areas of Halacha. So the Bali Tosis understood that that's an important line, and they said, they brought up two interesting issues that seem to contradict, right, the underlying assumption of the Gemara's comment. In other words, there are two issues that Tosis brings up that seem to establish that even in the world of Chulin, right, Tumah matters. Now again, let me make it clear, we'll see this in the Rambam later, but I already said that Tumah can be absorbed by Chulin. In other words, a Basar Chulin or Ochel Chulin can become a Rishon L'Tumah, right, or a Sheni L'Tumah, right, but that is halachically significant, right, with respect to then transmitting it to either Truma or to Kach. Does the fact that it is transmitted to Chulin also show that Tumah is a consequential category in Chulin? You know, unless you think that that implies that, but it doesn't have to. It could just be, you know, its impact, you know, vis-a-vis Truma and Kadshim that matters. Okay, so we need to find other things other than the fact that Chulin is a Rishon or a Sheni. Are there other things that demonstrate that Chulin matters, I'm sorry, that Tumah matters in Chulin? Are there or are there not? So Tosis comes up with two. And clearly, again, he was just inspired by the dismissive language of the Gemara. So if you look at Tosis Divrei Maskil, Tomei b'Chulin ma'ila memra, Tosis says, Af agav d'asur ligrom Tumah l'Chulin sheva Eretz Yisrael. Right? The Gemara says in a few places, right? That asur ligrom tuma lechulin shav Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, you're not allowed to cause the chulin, even chulin, never mind kachim, to become tamei. So it sounds like there's an isur latamei chulin, at least in Eretz Yisrael. It sounds like the standards in Eretz Yisrael are such that the, you know, consequence, the spiritual toxicity of tuma, right, is something that should be avoided, right, even in chulin. That's against what the Gemara seems to be saying. Says Tosas, the first point, Tosas says, no, it seems that way, but actually it's misleading. Hainu dafka beperos, tashaychi buhu truma, hava basar, lo. Tosas says that's misleading. Really, what you're not allowed to cause tumah to, the chulin you're not allowed to cause tumah to in Eretz Yisrael, is tavua, peros. And that's because the peros all have within them the potential of hafrashas truma. They're all tevel, right? And since you're not allowed to be metame truma, misperos trumosai, that everybody agrees, right? You're not allowed to be metame truma, you're not allowed to be metame maisusheni, you're not allowed to be metame kodshim, that everybody agrees. So it's not a din in chulin, it's a din in potential, right, truma. Now, of course, there's a bit of a chiddush here, and that is truma, does truma already inhere with respect to, and if so, with respect to which dinim, right, in the tvua, in its state of teva. But you could say that while the tvua is tevel, right, it has no relationship to truma at all. This is the question. Matano shalo hurmu, kimisha hurmu dami. It connects to a whole bunch of topics in Zrayim, whether Tevel is viewed as, you know, containing already, or at least in potentia, containing, you know, Truma, or not. But that's Tosas' solution. Tosas says it's misleading to say Osar Ligrom, you know, Tuma LePeirosh Beretz Yisrael. What you should say is Osar, or Chulin Beretz Yisrael, you should say Osar Ligrom, right, Davar Sheefshar, you know, Leos Truma, you know, which is why it's limited to Eretz Yisrael. Yeah.
So we're concerned about a
Davar Shalom Baliolam. That's why I'm just pointing out that, you know, it's not necessarily a Davar Shalom Baliolam. It could be that what makes Tevel, this is a Rashi in Yevamos, famous Rashi seems to say this, that, you know, what gives Tevel half of part of its or most of its, you know, Easter status is the fact that it's, the Truma Shenis Arim. So it isn't really like a Davar Shalom Baliolam. The whole point is we're not looking at it as a Davar Shalom Baliolam. We're looking at it as, you know, Truma in an earlier stage. Okay? A typical Davar Shalom Baliolam is something that doesn't exist, or that you don't own, or that hasn't grown yet. But this, you know, it's here. You just have to do the Hafrasha. So a way of looking at Tevel is to say, you know, it's Truma, you know, before the Hafrasha. And therefore, I mean, this is a big question. The famous question, Rashi says something like that in Yevamos, and Tosas asks the famous question, so why can't a Kohen eat Tevel? Right? Because a Kohen can eat Truma. So why can't he eat Tevel? It's an interesting question. It highlights the issue. It's not a it's not a pircha she'ain alayu tshuva, but we understand that it isn't truma right now. You know, it's pre-truma. So maybe the kohen is also in pre-truma too. You know, I mean, there are things to say about it, but that's kind of the issue. However, the second point in Tosas, yeah, sorry.
Is there any tie in truma?
Was it, say again? No, Kol HaOhel Bila is a little bit different. The din of Kol HaOhel Bila is actually Kol HaOhel Bila ain Bila Ma'akeves. Kol She'ain Royal Bila Bila Ma'akeves. So that just means that sometimes, you know, even if you don't ever, you know, do the Lechatchila, right, the potential to do it is still part of what defines it. I mean, you want to say something like that about meaning you know the potential to be motzi the truma. I hear maybe it doesn't sound that way. It's more like, as I say, batona shalo hormu kemisha hormu. You know, do we see this as something waiting to be done or already there in a different or earlier stage? Usually, kolaroyla bila is, you know, there's a lechatchila better mehudar way to do this. You don't have to do it that way, but the potential at least to do it that way, you know, is a shiur. It's a way of gauging the fullness of the state of the object, you know, when it's present. I don't think you really have that here in Truma because it's a new state or a different state. It's not two ways of accomplishing the same mitzvah. So it's an interesting parallel, but I don't think it's exactly the same. Okay, Tosas has a second point, and this second point in Tosas is clearly about Chulin. It's not just about Peros, and it's not about Peros Beretz Yisrael. The issue with it is, where did Tosas get it from? And is it a normatively accepted did? So Tosas says, about basar, the fact, v'afil yehi asar l'tamos gufo ba'ochlin t'meim. In other words, he says, afilu, even if you think that you're prohibited to make yourself tamei by eating tamei foods, kiddarshinan v'iskadishtim v'yisem kadoshim, that's how he's darshaning v'iskadishtim v'yisem kadoshim, azhara l'bnei Yisrael, sheyochlu chuleim b'tahara. It's a warning to Klal Yisrael that they should be eating their chulin in a state of tahara. Even then, you know, if you're in a state of tumah, there wouldn't be a problem, right? So, you know, it's still legitimate to say the words tameh b'chulin ma'al memra. Okay, but Tosas came up here with this drasha, right? V'is kadishtim v'isam k'toshim azar l'bnei Yisrael sheyochlu chuleim b'tahar. You know, projecting that there's an azhara, not just a you know, minag, you know, tov of the prushim, that you should eat taharos, eat b'tahara, and stay tahar. Now again, how much of this is about the result of becoming tamei, right, or about eating tuma, which also, you know, for maybe the same reason, is a noxious spiritual thing, and therefore makes you tamei, hard to know. But if you look on the side, you'll see the asterisk, lo yadati makomo, ayin brachos, yuma, right, darshina viskadishta and the milsa achriti lagamri. This drasha is controversial. Very controversial. If you look later on, in the Gemara's later on, Lamed Dalet, Lamed Hey, there seems to be some discussion in Rashi and Tosis. There's some sugas about chulin shenasval, taharas hakodesh and chulin. And there seems to be some discussion between Rashi and Tosis. Again, whether there is some lechatchila requirement, you know, to avoid becoming tamei or to avoid eating tamei food, you know, in a state of chulin. Okay, so Tosas here, as I say, you can see the whole what's going on here. Tosas basically encountered this line in the Gemara that seems to say that the entire world of tumah v'tahara, right, is irrelevant to Chulin, I mean outside of the Mikdash and outside of Trumos and Maaser Sheni, and Tosas pushing back and saying, you know, originally they thought they had something with the Isur Ligrom, you know, Peros of Eretz Yisrael. That they said no. To be fair, that isn't, you know, conflict. But then they have this other thing, Viskadishtim Yisem Kadoshim, that you should remain tahar. Okay, fine. We should contrast this with the view of the Rambam. If you look, let's first look at the beginning of the Rambam. This is on page one of the new Amar Mekomos that I gave you, that I gave out, or that was given out. Starting from line 25. So this is the Rambam weighing in on exactly this issue, namely, what role does Tumah have in the world of Chulin? We think about it, it's a very big issue, very important topic, right? And he's doing this in the end of Hilchos Tumas Ochlin. Okay, in Sefer Tahara, and the end of Hilchos Tumas Ochlin. So here, the very last chapter, Perek Dazayin Halacha Ches, I have copied here for you. We have till the end of the Tumas Ochlin, right through Halacha Yud Beis, Kesar Yud Beis. Here's where the Rambam discusses very extensively and clearly his view on this topic, although we'll see, it isn't so simple. The Rambam says, Kol HaKosav BaTorah, Ubedivrei Kabbalah, Mehilchos HaTumas VaTaharos, En El Le'inyan Mikdash VeKadoshav, Utrumas HaMaaser Sheni, Bilvad. The big statement. Everybody have it? Yeah? Good. That's everything in the Torah and all the Mesorah that deals with Dinei Tumah VaTaharos applies only to the Mikdash, Kadshim, Trumos, and Maaser Sheni. Otherwise, so the Rambam would appear to be saying so far, right? The category of Tumah VaTahara doesn't apply. Which raises an interesting question, and that is, Tumah VaTahara, a whole section, you know, a whole Miktsoa HaTorah, one of the Shisha Sidre Mishnah, is just a series of conditions to, you know, to disqualify you from eating Dvarim Kadoshim or going into Kadosh places? Or it has some intrinsic value. Or it has an intrinsic value, but only in the framework or context of elevated sanctity to begin with, right? And outside of that elevated high standard, you know, its value, you know, kind of, you know, becomes insignificant. Those are two different perspectives, right? Or there's always a concept of tahara. It's always an aspiration. You know, it's just that in Chulin, it's, you know, there are no manifestations or very few manifestations. Well, the three, I guess, perspectives that we could talk about. Okay. Then the Rambam goes on to explain. Shaharei, his here as atmei melikonis lemikdash, o lecho kodesh, o trumo, meiser, meaning meiser sheni, betuma. The Torah says clearly that you are prohibited from entering the mikdash or eating, consuming, in other words, kodshim, truma, meiser sheni, betuma. Avalachulin ein bahen iser klal, not at all. Right, the Rambam's emphatic. Ella, and here in the next few sentences, you have not historically, but you know, substantively, a response to Tosas. Meaning, you know, we're talking about two different halachic cultures and time periods, even some discrepancy. But the Rambam's saying, I know what you're all, you know, thinking about. Ella, one. Mutter lechol chulin tmeim. Unlike this, you know, drasha that Tosas, you know, found vis kadishta visam kadoshim, that you're not allowed to become tamei, or you're not allowed to eat food that will make you tamei. Right? The Ram says mutter lechol chulin tmeim. V'lishtos mashkin tmeim. Meaning, what Tosas says in the second point, the Rambam says is totally wrong. Hari Namer Batorah, Babasar Shayiga Bechol Tame, Lo Yachel. Mechlal Shabichulin, Mutarin, Shane Medaber, Lebabasar Kadshim. If it's Chulin, there's no Iser to eat it even if it's Tame, and there's no Iser by extension to becoming Tame by eating it. Im Kain, this is a terrific line, and of course, you know, I foreshadowed it before. He's saying, Im Kain, you might think that if there's no consequence or category, no real application of Tumah in the world of Chulin, so maybe you shouldn't be able to become Tamei to transmit it then to Truma or Kodshim either. Because maybe there's just no Chalos Tumah at all. That would be very reasonable, but it's not Mukhrach. And the Ram says, it's not true. You can still be a placeholder. In other words, you can absorb Tumah, even though it's consequentially insignificant, but you can absorb it, le'inyan, the possibility of communicating or transmitting, you know, to Truma and Kadshim. Imkein b'pnei ma ne'mar, but this is what he's bothered by. B'pnei ma ne'mar harishon shebechulin tamei, v'asheni pasul, right? Lo sheyeh aser b'achila, he says that doesn't imply that there's any actual consequence in Chulin. Elemanos mimeno l'truma l'kodesh. It's a placeholder, again, it's a chalos, a status, vis-a-vis, right, contact with these highly sensitive spiritual substances, namely kachim and Maisa sheni truma. Shem naga sheni shochulin betruma pasla vasa shlishi. Chidim naga ba'ochlin shel kodesh timon vasa shlishi kamo shabiyarni. Chidim ochel. Ochel sheni shochulin im naga betruma pasla. But just to highlight the problem a little bit more, even though he's dismissing it, but he's the one who's raising it, which is great. It's interesting. You could have said, you know, if there's no consequence to becoming tamei for chulin, you know, and yet it can be a placeholder, or it can absorb the shame tumah of a rishon and a sheni. You know, then such that it can then transmit, let's say, a shlishi to truma or to kadshim. So you wonder a little bit. It's not a question. I just want to make it clear the fullness of what's being said here, and that is so. And let's say, what about a shlishi? Like, let's say the chulin, you know, is touched by a sheni. Had it been truma, it would have been a shlishi. Okay. So let's say this chulin has that exact same experience, right? Again, the difference between kachim and chulin is not chemical. It's spiritually chemical. But it's the same basar, or the same peros, right? So why not say that now it's a shlishi? Of course, it doesn't have any consequences for itself. But now, if it touches kachim, now, if it touches truma, it's not going to do anything, because truma can't become a revi. But kachim can still become a revi. So just like the rishon and sheni are insignificant to itself, but they're significant for transmission, maybe shlishit should be significant for transmission, legabe kachim. But that is not true. Meaning, a chulin can become a rishon and a sheni, but it can never become a shlishi or a revi, even vis-a-vis, right, its future contact, or its then contact with something that has the capacity, the sensitivity, in other words, to be mistame from that level. It's not a contradiction to what the Rambam's saying. Just to understand fully what bothers him, and he's dismissing it, but there's something to think about here. Okay. Meaning, even though there's no, according to the Rambam, consequence at all of tumah l'chulin, right, the fact that it, you know, there are some things it absorbs vis-a-vis transmission, and other things it doesn't even absorb, is a curious, not problematic, but at least an intriguing, you know, aspect of it. Okay. Then the Rambam goes on to say, V'cheina och, okay, fine. Then the Rambam goes on to say, turn the page for a second, K'shem shemutar lechol chulin tmeim v'lishtosan kach mutar ligrom tuma lechulin sheberetz Yisrael. Okay, so just in backwards order, he addresses exactly the two questions of Tosef, and very understandably, because you know they're both these are great authorities who know the system, who are struggling with the same question, right, and they're struggling with the same evidence. So the Rambam says, just as you're allowed to be mistam, there's no problem of, you know, v'skadishtim v'isam k'noshim, there's not even a problem, he paskins against the way Tosis paskins, of mutar ligrom tumah l'chulin sheberetz Yisrael. Again, he doesn't say what Tosis says, which is, anyways, that's only a din in peros and trumos. Probably the Rambam understood that in the Gemara, you know, that's a din in chulin, and maybe it applies to basar too. Or, if it did apply only to peros, maybe he doesn't think it's so much, you know, can be just dismissed on the basis of, you know, matanos shalohormu or something like that. Then he says, "V'yeshlo l'tami esachulin hametukakim hametukanim lechatchila." Even if you have chulin mitukanim, right? You can betame it if you want, no problem. V'chein muta la'adam liga b'cholatumos ulistamos bahen. A regular person can touch any tuma and become tame. Ah, shehari hizir hakasav es bnei Aaron v'yasanazir mehistame b'meis mechlal shekola amutarim. Since the Torah, right, went out of its way to insist that a nazir and a kohen might not have contact with a mace, the implication is everybody else, it's not a problem. B'sh'af kohanim u'nazirim u'torim li'istame b'shar tumos chutz mitame mace. Kohen is allowed to be mistame, you know, by contacting a nevela or a sheretz or a zav, right, just not a mace. So the implication is that for everyone else there's no Isur Tumah at all. And for even a Kohen, there's only Tumas Metz. Oh. Then the Rambam has to contend with a problem. And that is the Gemara in, really, the Sifra in Vayikra, which is a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. And that's what he contends with. And that is the problem of Chayev Adam Letaher Atzmo Berega. And the Gemara says there, based on Sifra, really says that on Regalim, right, there's an obligation to be Tahar, not to become Tahar. How could that be if we're talking about, you know, this fine, clear demarcation between Chulin and Kodesh? There's no din of Tahara and Tuma in Chulin. So why is Chayiv Adam L'Tahara Atzma Berega? Says the Rambam. Before we get to the Rambam, we'll see the Rambam, then we'll go back to the source, and then we will... Then we'll go back to the Rambam again. So line 7. Kol Yisrael Muzarim Lios Tahorim B'chol Regel. Says the Rambam, Mipnei, even as he's... So basically, the question that he's asking is obvious. Like, why would that be, given what I've just said? And it doesn't fit into the thesis. So he fits it into the thesis. Okay. The question is, what does he mean by it? Mipnei Sheim Nechonim Likonis B'miktosh B'lechol Kach. The answer is because Regel is also a time of Knisa LeMikdash, right? That's what the Gimel Regalim is, Lehei Ra'os, right? To be, to see and to be seen, in the Azara, right? And to eat Shlamim and Chagigan, all those things. So it may look like this is an exception to the rule, right? But it is not. We'll see whether it isn't a little bit. V'zeshen Emra B'Torah u'benivla sam lo siga'u. The Torah says, "Benivla samlo sigos." Actually, it's a pasuk. We'll see the pasuk in a minute. That sounds an awful lot like you're not allowed to become tame, right? And the Sifra and the Gemara say that pasuk, "Benivla samlo sigau beregel bilvad," refers to the regel. It's a very astonishing thing. I'll tell you what I think it really means in a minute. But the pasuk has nothing, no context. The context of the pasuk has nothing to do with regal. So it's a pasuk in Vayikra about not touching an avela. There's nothing about the regalim near it. Okay, and you'll see in a moment the Gemara gets this idea that it's referring to regalim by process of elimination. And what I like to quote from Sherlock Holmes a lot. Right, when you eliminate the impossible, all that remains, no matter how improbable, is the truth. So that's basically how the Sifra first, and then the Gemara repeating it, says basically, well, it can't mean what it says, because only Kohanim Evan Isur, and that's only Latame Lemes. So regularly Yisrael doesn't have that Isur. Even a Kohen doesn't have that Isur of Tumas Sevela. So how can there be a Pasuk that says, Benivla Sam Lo Sigo? You'll see in a moment. I'll read it inside. The answer is, the only thing it can refer to, since it can't refer to anything else, right, that's the, no matter how improbable is the truth, is regalim. But it's so tamua. Like the Torah, again, Khalil, I'm not challenging the Sifra. That's Torah Shabbat. We accept that. But what I do think we need to wonder is how come, if this is the true answer, which it is, how come it's written as if it's a general rule, right? So we need to try to explain that, maybe. So explain it in a minute. V'im nitma, then the Rambam adds, v'im nitma ein aloka, which is also fascinating. On the regel, if you do become tame, the Torah says, b'niv l'sam lo sigao, right? That's a lav. There should be a malchus. Not a lav shein b'maisa. Not a lav shebeklalos, not a lav shenitan lazaris misas bezdim, right? It's none of those things. So it's not a lav. So well, why is there no malchus? And you'll see in a moment in the Sifra that at least the Havamino, when they thought that there was a broader din, is that there is malchus. Bimnitma ain't a loka. Aval shar yimos hashana ain't a muzar. Wow. Okay, so let's talk about this for a minute, and then we'll continue with the last two halachas of the Rambam. This is his thesis about Tumah v'Tahara in Chula. So this is based on a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Let's go back to page one for a minute. It says as follows. You see it here? Talmud Bavli, second Rosh Hashanah, Tezayin, Amud Beis. The Gemara says, I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. I started a little bit line early because you'll see why in a few minutes. Chayiv Adam Lahakbil Pnei Rabo Berega. Person is supposed to greet his Rebbe on the regal. Okay? Shenemar, Madu'a Talecha Seilav, Hayom. Right, lo chodesh v'lo Shabbos michlal, the bechodesh v'Shabbos iboyla lemezo. And that's the first din of Rabbi Yitzchak. That's not our halacha here at all, but I'm going to use it just to make a point in a minute. Chayiv adam lahakbil pnei rabo berego. Fine. Then v'amar Rabbi Yitzchak, a second statement of Rabbi Yitzchak. Chayiv adam v'taher atzmo berego. Person on the regalim is supposed to make sure that he's tall. Shenemar ubenivlasam lo sigal. That pasuk that the Rambam was quoting comes from this Gemara, or from the Sifra that this Gemara is based on. Tanya mihachi ubenivlasam lo sigo. Okay. What does that have to do with being bataratz bo beregel? What does it say anything about the regel? Yachol yihu yisrom muzarin al mago nevela. Because the simple pshat is that you're never allowed to touch a nevela. No one's allowed to touch a nevela. Not just kohanim, not a kohen, and not a yisrael. Ever. Talmud lomar Emor, Elakon, and Bnei Aaron, Bnei Aaron Buzarim, Bnei Yisrael and Buzarim. This is what the Rambam was quoting. Right? V'halo Dvarim Kavachomer, that's Kavachomer. Matuma Chamura, Kohanim Buzarim, Yisraelim, Enim Buzarim, if, you know, the Tuma, right, which is Tumas Meis, is only off bounds to Kohanim, then Tuma Kala Lo Kol Shekein. And that's certainly true. If we're talking about the lesser intense, less intense tumah, elamat talmud lomer b'nivlasam lo sigahu. So again, you have nothing left. That's, you know, that's the improbable that remains, and that is it must be berega. Okay, good. What's the pasuk? This is the pasuk number 11. Look for a minute. Bibsaram lo sochelu. You don't eat nivelu. B'nivlasam lo sigahu. Tamehim lahem lachem. It's tamei, and therefore you shouldn't be. This pasuk is Perakid Aleph pasuk ches. The regalim are, you know, in re'ei. The moadim are Perak chav gimel of ayikra, right? But this is nothing close to it about regalim. Okay, but that's what the Mesorah tells us. The Ramban has an interesting comment. Ubenivla sam lo sigo, line 13. Ramban al Torah, Eina azhara lesser lana wanagia. It's not an iser that you're not allowed to touch it. Aval yomer, what it really means is benivla sam lo sigo kitmei mehim lachem. Klomar lo tigo bahem bilti im titamu. It doesn't mean that there's a prohibition. It means, you know, if you don't want to become tamei, don't touch it because that's the consequence. It's a clumsy reading of the pasuk. I'm just pointing out the Ramban's reading the pasuk in an awkward way because he has no choice. Right? He knows it's awkward. The ha'inyan, what's the point? That's why he adds the ha'inyan. Lomar sheyachshov kol noge behem shutame, to be aware. B'nivlasam lo tigo is a way of saying, you know, this is the consequence if you do this. Take note, right? Right? Sheyachshov kol noge shutame. V'yizahir, there comes the punchline, min ha-mikdash min ha-kadshim, like, why take note? The answer is, in case, right, you are going to, you know, encounter some relevant, you know, consequence, take note. Because, and I guess the idea is, you know, in your chulin life, which is your, you know, the life that you live predominantly 90% of the time, right, you know, you're always encountering tumah and you're just ignoring it. So the point is that, you know, don't ignore it, you know, vis-a-vis, you know, where it's consequential. And that's going to be, you know, if you're going to the Mikdash reading Kachim, or maybe on a rega. And then the Ramban says, because he knows that that's an awkward explanation, but it's the best you can do, best he can do. He says, "V'shema hamedrash Omer Avosenu, according to Torah's Kohanim, ubenivlo samla sigol berego, klomar shalot tigol bo b'shal shatem chafetzim lios tahorim, ki tmeim heim v'lo talu b'hem l'rego." If you're going to be tamei, that will maybe disrupt your aliyah regel. So baregel here isn't referring to the time period; it's referring also to the activity, you know, that names the time period, meaning the aliyah l'regel. Aval eina negia nimnas balav she'ena nogea b'nevela baregel min alokim esarbaim. This, you know, probably got from the Rambam, but he's embracing it. He's saying, but, you know, you wouldn't get Malkus for this, because probably, as we'll see, but we'll see. Gumash Omru Chayvon Amutar Atzma Beregel, says the Ramban, Mitzvah B'Divrei Sofrim. When he calls something Mitzvah B'Divrei Sofrim, unlike the Rambam, it's a clear drabanan. Ve'ein Bazem Minat Torah Aseh Olos Aseh, Zulaseh Mitzvah Sualiyah. Oshia benivla samo sigol beregel asmachta, kishar asmachtos harbish, shnios betaris koin. Basically, Ramban says that this Gemara, this Sifra, and this Gemara are drabanan. They're an asmachta. Meaning the question we asked before, like, is it possible? This pasuk in Vayikra, you know, refers to regel? Right? The simple reading of the Taurus Koranim in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah is, yes, it's improbable, but that's, you know, what it is. It's so strange that the Torah formulated it this way. You know, that we still have to get back to. But that's what it is. That's definitely the view of the Rambam, the view of most of the Rishonim, Rashi ala Torah. The Ramban says, no, that's a din d'rabbanan. It's very practical din. It has to do not with the zman of the regel, but with the kant, you know, with the act of the regel, meaning being olol regel. And that we, now we understand why he thinks that you don't get Malkus. That's all he did in Rabbana. Then he adds, just to make it clear, but in the actual Sifra it says, Acherim Omrim Yachalim Naga Adam B'Nevela Yilkar Ba'im. Some people say that if you touch a Nevela any time of the year, you'll get Malkus. Tamad Lomar Ula Eila Titamu Yachalim Ra Adam Esa Nevela Yelech Vitame. Maybe it means that you should be Vitame. Tamad Lomar B'Nevela Samlo Sigo. Okay, tzad, have a omer rishus, v'zeh ikar hadin min haTorah. Meaning, if you want to become tamei, that's fine. If you don't want to become tamei, that's fine. What's curious about it is that he does quote the Sifra, that the Havamina was, that if you touch it, you'll get Malkus. The Gemara definitely thought that if this was a broader din, you'd get Malkus. How does the Rambam, who thinks it's not an asmachta, how does he know that you don't get Malkus on the regel? And Bishlam of the Ramban, who thinks it's a drabbanan, and it's not really the pshat and the pasuk, so there's no Malkus. But if the Rambam does think it's the pshat and the pasuk, it sounds like he does, because remember, it poses a problem for the Rambam. Right? I mean, the Rambam has to explain how this doesn't fit into his thesis, you know, that there's no din of tahara in chulin. And say, yeah, there is one, but it's kadeshu nechonim likanis l'miktash v'lechon kachim, that explains it. Okay, fine. But he's still treating, he's not saying it's asmachta bi'alma, right? So once that's the case, why is it no Malkus? Okay. So I think at the answer, well, let me just say, tell you what the Shagas Aryeh says, and then I'll tell you what I think. The Shagas Aryeh is a very famous discussion about this. It all started in the Rush, in Masechet Rosh Hashanah. The Rush discusses whether or not issue of Rav Sajigom, a tefillah and a mikvah before Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and whether you make a bracha. So he discusses this question a little bit about being matai or atzma beregel. The Shagas Aryeh, according to the Rambam, says that, you know, what's this din of matai beregel? So the way the Shagas Aryeh reads the Rambam is that the Rambam is saying, the Rambam is sticking with his strict constructionist view, which is, there are no consequences whatsoever to being tamei outside of Knisa LeMikdash and Achilas Kachim. What about Taharat Regel? Well, the Rambam answers the question. Kadeshu nechonim likanis lemikdash v'lachol bekadshim. The way Shagas Aryeh understands that is in a practical way. Namely, on the regular, you're supposed to go to the Beis HaMikdash and you're supposed to eat kadshim, and therefore you can't become tameh. But, for example, says the Shagas Aryeh, for that reason, it's only the regalim, it's not Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and it's only Bizman HaMikdash, not Bizman HaZeh. That's why he doesn't like that rush, or the Rapsajigo, the whole thing. It's up to with going to the Mikvah Bizmanenu on Rosh Hashanah. Right? On the other hand, the Shagas Aryeh says, if I'm right, I can certainly explain why there's no Malkus. There's a question. When the Gemara thought Biniv Lassam Lo Sigo applies across the board, they thought there was Malkus. So what happened to the Malkus? Where did it go? I mean, the Rambam is still treating it as a Dindaraisa, so let you get Malkus on the regal when you're Mistame. No. Because nothing wrong with being Mistame. It's not a Maisa Avera. When the Gemara thought that there's an Isertli Histame per se, that's a Maisa Avera. And for that you get Malkus. But the Gemara doesn't think that according to the Rambam, according to the Shagas Aryeh's reading anymore. What they're saying is there's no Isa Lihistame. The problem is, right, Lihistame, and then to walk into the Mikdash and see Kachin. So the Lihistame part isn't what's Asur. That's a Hechsher Bialma, right, it's one step removed. So of course there's no Malkus. You can't compare an Iser Lihistame to an Iser, likanis, b'mikdash or lechol kachin b'regel, right? So that's the Shagas Aryeh is reading the Rambam, and that's fine. I think that you don't have to read the Rambam exactly this way, although certainly you have to read close to it. The Rambam uses the expression heyu nechonim. The Shagas Aryeh explains this to mean very simply that you should be prepared lemaisa. But I think the Rambam uses that same expression, certainly the beginning of Hilchos Beis HaBechira, and a few other places, I think. I think there's another way to read it, in which what the Rambam is saying is a little bit more fundamental. And that is, what the Rambam is not saying necessarily only that becoming Tameh on the Regel disrupts the Dinim of Aliyah L'Regel, or jeopardizes Knisa L'Mikdash and Achilas Kadshim B'Tahar. What he may be saying is something really profound, and that is, the regel is a time of Knisa L'Mikdash and Achilas Kadshim. Right? And being in a state where you're worthy to do that is also part of Kedushas HaRegel. Even if you can't, or you won't. In other words, for the same reason that there is a mitzvah of Knisa L'Regel, of Knisa L'Azara, and Achilas Kadshim on the Regel, for that very same reason, namely the extra dimension of Kedushas HaRegel, or the status of Kedushas HaRegel, I think there are two different ways to say this, or the state of being Ro'i Likanes L'Mikdash and Lechol Kadshim, is a din in Kedushas HaRegel itself. And therefore becoming Tameh, the Nafkamina being, in other words, that it, even if it has nothing to do, even if Lemaisa, you're not going to the Mikdash, or you're not going to eat Kadshim, or you can't, or whatever, maybe even Bizman HaZeh, there's some value, if you could be Tahar, problem of Tumas Meis and other things, but the point is it isn't merely a Hechsher of Knisa LeMikdash, it's a Shior in either, right, Kedushas HaRegel, or Kedushas HaGabra B'Regel, or something like that. If that's the case, again, we can still understand why there's no Malkus, because there's still a huge discrepancy and a qualitative difference between what this status was in the Havamina Benivla Samlo Sigo, and then. But if that's the case, you may have gained one other benefit, and that is, why does the Torah have this halacha in this way? But I think that the answer may be, again, according to the Shagas Aryeh's reading of the Rambam, it's all just functional. It's instrumental. And it's strange. Meaning, again, the pasuk, this is what it means, this is what it means. You know. But why put it there or make it sound differently? But according to what I'm suggesting, maybe the idea is as follows. The Rambam isn't completely ruling out the status and the significance of tahara. And again, the, you know, the downside of tumah. He is saying that almost completely, right, you require, right, the sensitive spiritual environment of kachin, maaser sheni, and truma for it to be consequential. But he's not saying that it's a neutral area and just a condition for those other things. And therefore, what he might be saying is, or what the way the Rambam may understand the psukim is the following: benivla sam lo sigo, meaning there could have been a general aspiration for people to be tahar. Lemaisa, normatively in the halacha, you see from tumas kohanim being restricted to kohanim and being restricted to mace, but that isn't the case. But the idea, the value of benivla sam lo sigau in general is something to take seriously. The way you take it seriously is to find at least one expression for it. Moshe Lama Davardoma, and this actually is the convergence of two ideas, you know, is you're not supposed to fast, you know, you're not supposed to practice Vinisa Misnaf Shosechem all year round. Right? But you are on Yom Kippur. And by the way, Yom Kippur is a day about which we say, right, Lifnei Hashem. What's that? It is. It's Achas Bashana, but my, yeah, no, that's very relevant, actually. Because my view on Achas Bashana, as you know, is that it's one day a year, it's supposed to only be one day a year, and it's what it does for the year, right? It's the linchpin of the year. So what I'm kind of saying is, because Yom Kippur is what we talk about every Yom Kippur, I think that's the theme of the day. It's the linchpin of what you're capable of being and doing. The Torah says about Yom Kippur that it's a day of tahara. Ki b'yom hazeh yichaper aleichem l'tahara eschem, mikol chataseichem lifnei Hashem, titaru. Right? So the idea of kul Hashem and the idea of tahara and the idea of achas bashana is actually a very good paradigm. So what the idea is that the Torah is saying b'nivel samal tziga. There is an aspiration, you know, to express and to manifest tahara. We don't want you to do it every day. We certainly want to demand it every day because that would just be too disruptive, or it would come at the expense of other things. Maybe it isn't the best for, like Yom Kippur. It isn't the best, you know, way of exercising spirituality, you know, in the bigger picture. But we do want occasionally for you to give expression to it. Right? And that's Bergalim. So it's a din in benivla samlo sigo, even though lemaisa it's limited to regalim. Why is it limited to regalim? Because that's a day, anyways, of nechonim yiyu likanes lemikdash v'lachol kach. So just to highlight it further, I mentioned our two Rav Yitzchaks, not two people, two statements that he made, and they seem related a little bit. First one was chayiv adam lahakbil pnei rabo b'rego, right, and the next one is chayiv adam latar atzmo b'rego. So it's interesting, you could have both of those issues, you could ask the same question. Is that more a din in the application or in the timing? Meaning, are these Yom Tov dinim? Or are they Tahara and Kabbalah's Pnei Rabo dinim? Or somewhat both? Meaning, there are two ways to look at both of these halakhos, and I'm not sure that they're mutually exclusive. You could say, like, oh, you should be calling up your Rebbe every single day, you know, or visiting him. That probably wouldn't be so efficient for your life. Probably wouldn't be so efficient for his life. Especially if he has a bunch of Talmida. I'm sure he'd be pleased, but and enjoy it, and I get a lot of nachas. But it probably wouldn't be so productive, you know, for everybody's working situations or family situations. But in a way, so, you know, so basically this idea of Kabbalah's Pnei Rabo, Beregel, the best time to express this thing that you, on one level, should be doing every single day is Borrego. There's a little more time, there's a little more, you know, conducive of an environment, etc. Indeed, the Rambam puts that halacha in Hilchos Talmud Torah, not in Hilchos Yom Tov. which is interesting. Meaning it's a Talmud Torah din, and this is the appropriate time to... But one could have said it differently, and other poskim put it in Hilchos Yom Tov. I mean, you could say, you know, what that halacha really is about? It's a din in Yom Tov. Limud HaTorah on Yom Tov, and especially your relationship or your understanding, let's say the Rebbe taught you Dinei Moed, right? So like maybe every Moed, you know, there's a certain bond that you feel. It's not just nostalgia, but like a certain like indispensable, you know, link, you know, to the Rebbe who opened your eyes, who opened your heart, you know, to the significance of this regel. Every Chag HaMatzos and every Chag HaSukkos and every Yom Kippur and every, you know, was transformed by the relationship that you had with him. So it's a din of the regel, chayvanam l'kabel p'nei rabo b'regel. I'm not so sure they're mutually exclusive. But let me just say it in this way. Chayvanam l'tahir atzmo b'regel is a similar kind of an issue and a question. Right? You could have put that in Hilchos Yom Tov. And you could have said it has to do with Kedushas Yom Tov for the same reason, you know, that you have to be nachon, you know, l'leches, l'mikdash, and l'chon kodshim. So the tahara, you know, is part of that as well. Either because you need to be roy to do those things, even if you're not going to do them. I always like to point out, you know, there are karbanos that are referred to, although they're not so much explicated, in the Parsha Samoadim of Emor, even though the Musafim and the actual karbanos are listed only in Pinchas. Maybe that's because, again, the Ramban has a different take on this, because part of the Kedusha of Moadim is that they're Yimei HaKravas Karbanos. Right? Parshas Pinchas gives you the perspective of the Karbanos. It starts with the Tmidim, you know, then you have the Musaf Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh and so on and so forth. Right? Emor gives it from the perspective of the Moed. But these are not mutually exclusive ideas. They're different ideas, but they overlap a lot. The Moedim are enhanced by being Yimei HaKravas HaKarbanos. And of course the Regalim, even more so, by Aliyah L'Regel. Right. So the point is that Tahara B'Regel could be a din in the Regel. But it also could be that the Rambam put it in Hilchos Tumas Ochlin, even as he was protesting so much that there's no din of Tumah right in Chulin, as if to say, there's no din, Lamaisa, there's no din of Tumah in Chulin. Right? But there is an expression of it, you know, in the Regel, because of the Chonim, but that's also an expression of Tahara, generally. This isn't in Hilchos Yom Tov. And it's not in Hilchos Chagiga. It's in Hilchos Tumas Ochlin. And then you would understand better why the Torah seemingly misleadingly says, B'nivla sam lo sigo, but it doesn't mean that at all, right? If it's totally functional like the Shagas Aryeh, then it's misleading. Right? But if at least it's a state, not just an instrument of preparation, then it is somewhat true, although it's very, very limited. Again, the same limitation applies in terms of how often it applies, how often you implement it. But the nature of that limited implementation is understood in a very, very different kind of way. Okay. So interestingly, along these lines, let's continue with the Rambam just for another minute. I'm going to finish in a minute. So then the Rambam says in Halacha Yud Aleph, HaTameh v'HaTohar Yachtav, right? With same psukim in Parshas Re'eh that we used when we were talking about Shechita. Right? HaTameh v'HaTohar Yachtav V'Pi HaShmo Lomdu SheHaTameh v'HaTohar Ochlin B'Kara Achas Aval Lo Yochal HaBalim Ishta B'Kara Achas Kishti Anida. Okay, fine. Lo Yishtima Lo Timzog Lo Kos. Fine. Lo Yochal HaZavam HaZavam B'nei Hergal HaVeira Shem Yivol. Basically, you're allowed to eat with somebody who's tame, all things being equal, if it's not one of these other issues, right? Because l'shitaso, there's no isur l'istame. Then finally, the Rambam gets back to, like the regel, another echo, maybe, of Tahara in Chulin. Because he has to explain, what about the Prushim? What about the Chassidim? Chassidim are Rishonim, Hayu Ochlin Chulin B'Tahara. Vinizarin Minatumos Kulan Kol Yemeim. So what's the story with that? Were they wasting their time? It's very, as I say, it's very rigorous practice. Right? So there's no point of doing it if it's an empty practice. The Heina Nikroim Prushim. It sounds like we admire them, right? B'davar zeh, kedusha yaseirahi. B'derech chasidus. Ah. So what's the Rambam going to say about this, given that he's downplayed? All right, but there is the echo of the regal, at least, right? But again, it's hard to know exactly, but mostly he makes it pragmatic. Sheyeh nivdal adam uporesh mishar ha'am. Instead of saying what you would have expected he would say, which is, well, for these great men, like every day is Yom Kippur, you know, or every day is the Regel, they can handle it, right? It isn't a Yohara for them, it's not counterproductive, it's good to have some small elite, you know, doing this for Klal Yisrael, spiritual specialization. He could have said all those things. Right, I'm not sure that he doesn't mean some of them in other places, but here at least the Rambam basically turns this into another pragmatic consideration. And that is, this is a method of isolating, in terms of conduct, right, intellectual conduct and religious conduct, not the Tahara. The Tahara is a mechanism. And that's what he says. Shaprishus Mevia lidei taras aguf mi masim arayim, betaras aguf mevia lidei kedushas hanefesh mideos ro. The tahara creates practically the precious. The precious is what contributes to taharas aguf, right, and so on. And deos precious and kedushas nefesh rather than deos ro. Kedushas hanefesh goremisli damos bishchina. Right, that's a big thing. Not the tahara. That's the end of Tumas Ochlin. Brich Rachman and the Sai. However, in Uchus Mikvos, right there, the Rambam does seem to speak more positively, intrinsically, about Taharas, mostly in the context of Kachim, but not just as an instrument. Even though he limits it very much, Lashitaso, in a consistent way, in the context of Kedusha, of Knisa LeMikdash, and Kodshim, and Ma'aseh Sheni, and Truma, there he thinks it's not just a condition, but really a value and a status. Davar Barav Agalui, Shatumas Vatara Gzeres HaKosuvain, it's clear that Tumantara is a Gzeres HaKosuv, Ve'ina Medvarim Shadaita Shal Adam Machra Aso, Barein Mechal HaChukim, we're not talking about physical uncleanliness, right? It's spiritual. However, as mysterious as it is, there's still a remez. Kishem shemachavin libel latar kimin shetavol tahar, al bishlo nischadish bedufa davar. Meadas is a metaphor for a mikvah, right? An intellectual one or a religious one. Tahor. So here you have, clearly, as a metaphor, an admiration for the state of Tahara, and Tahara here itself contributes to neutralizing Machshevas Ha'aven B'deos Haros. It's not that merely that it brings to Prisha, as it did for Chulin people, Prushim, right, who have that status. Let's contrast this. I'm just going to take one more minute to finish all this. with what the Rambam says. Again, let's not compare it, but again, in Mitzvah Seh Kuftes, where the Rambam speaks about mikvah, speaks about the mitzvah of tzvila b'mikvah, he also makes it clear that if you want to become tameh, if you want to remain tameh, it's fine. Right? In a kavana b'marnu 30, shatvila mitzvah haseh sheyeh chayiv kol temi shitar o kapanim, kmo shu chayiv kol mi sheyizkasa b'ksus sheyasa b'tzitzis, o kol mi sheyeh lebaya sheyasa maka. It's no different, interesting, than building a makkah if you have a house, or putting on tzitzis if you have a beged. You know, there the risk actually a kiyum. V'ulama nirtza b'zeh, din tfila, yos ha-tor meres lanu, k'mishi yirtza li'itar b'tamaso, hinei lo yishalem ela b'tfila b'mayim v'az yitaher. If you want to become tar, this is the methodology, but there's no chiyum. V'loshon sifra, v'rochatz b'mayim yachum zeres melech, Talmud Lomar v'achar yavo l'machane b'pnei atuma romezel zeh ashor shabiyarti l'cha ki zeh din levad shemi sheyirtza sheyitaher yasekach zeh din hu ha-mitzvah v'ulam sheyeh chayiv tfila obligation to do tfila right al kol panim lo ava mi sheyirtza sheyishar b'tumasav lo yikanes l'machane shechina zman rav. He wants to make sure he wants to be tameh and he won't be able to enter the mikdash. Or shus biyado. Ukvar ba lashon sefer hamiti. Right? Bechomi shenitma v'yitbol shiyetahar avlo teshalim tarasot shiyarav shimsha. Chen gamkein bebaferish from a kubal shetzorach shiyitbol gugufo arum nogeh b'shatach hamayim kol b'sar shalidav rechonseitz ben tzor. We contrast these with I don't know where this is coming from all of a sudden, but with the chinuch and Rebbeinu Yonah. It'll take one more minute so we can finish this and move on next week to the next topic. The chinuch says the following. It quotes the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos about mikvah. That's line 6 through 10. And then he has a Tosefes in line 11. Tosefes. Umikol makom, says the Chinuch, einzeh, meaning the idea of not going to the mikvah and staying in a state of tumah for a long period of time, einzeh mimidas hachasidim v'anshe maisa liosam bitumaim bitumasam. If you do that, you're not behaving like a chassid. That doesn't mean it facilitates Prisha, and Prisha is the story. It means the Tahara itself. And this Chinuch says in other places in his Sefer Mitzvos as well. So here the Chinuch makes clear, in contrast to the Rambam, who may believe it too, but requires very specific religiously, spiritually sensitive circumstances, the Chinuch thinks, no, there's a value to Tahara even though there's no Chiyu. And then he goes on to say, V'lashon Sifrei, Sifra, etc. Okay. Mishrashe 15. Mitzvah zu shal taras amayim, asher kasav l'mal l'brosh ha-seder, l'hoshev v'sayilon b'pshatel shal dvarim, k'derach ha-pashtonim, ha-chung yu-avinu, ha-shay avinu, sh'yesh b'tfila remez ala tovo, sh'inak enafsho, mikochet k'mo tova, Hamayim lenakos kol davar hamiskabes b'hem. Again, a metaphor for spiritual cleansing. Rabbeinu Yonah and Avos says something similar. This is the last makor for today. Rabbeinu Yonah appreciates and promotes precious. By the way, this is on the Mishnah in Avos that we talked about last week and the week before. We were discussing Nedarim. The Mishnah says that Nedarim are siag l'prisha. This is Rabbeinu Yonah's perush on this Mishnah. Rabbeinu Yonah, who was called Rabbeinu Yonah HaChassid, by the way, and was known to have an ascetic bent, so he speaks very positively about being noted to asceticism. So he says, "Nimsa manigatmo lichvoshes yitzro," that trying to discipline yourself downplay your physicality. This is very interesting, just for 1 minute. There's a Yerushalmi in Shabbos that says this, these lines. Im lo yachot lemechal chulim b'tahara, kulishata, echal l'shiva yomi. The line in the Yerushalmi says, if you can't accomplish what the Chassidim did, in other words, to eat chulim b'tahara all the time, at least do it for a week during the year. So, in Chachmei Ashkenaz, they quote this Yerushalmi and they say, oh, what week are they talking about? Must be the week of Aseres Yemei Tshuva. Do they really think that's what that means, or are they saying that's a great, convergence? My theory, in other words, because that's the time of Tahara. Right, it's the same idea, kind of. So it's a great week to do it, or they think it means that week, just like, they think Lo Sigo, B'nivel Sam Lo Sigo, refers to Regalim. Hard to know. Same kind of question, parallel question. But the bigger idea, I think, is this. Others didn't read it that way. They just said, pick a week. It could be Chanukah. Probably not Chanukah. Or maybe, Timu Kol Hashmanim. Maybe it is Chanukah. So, what's the idea of picking a week? I think it's the idea that we spoke of before, which is, not that that Tahara is irrelevant. It has no value. Or has no value aside from kachim, and mikdash, highly sensitive spiritual, institutions. The idea is that it's too counterproductive, it creates too much of an elitist kind of thing in Kali, whatever it is. But doing it a week a year, pick your week, if it isn't a Aseres Yemei Tshuva, shows that you are cognizant and sensitive, right, to this manifestation. A week is a unit. There are a number of units, different types of units in halacha. A week is certainly one of them. So that's the idea. You can't do it often. Pick a week. Sha'ochel chulim b'tahara nikra parush. K'narmina b'gdei amaretz midras l'prushin. Avalein roi l'hagdir atzma b'gedarim, b'nedarim, elin, or b'gedarim, elin kein yitzro mizgaber lam sh'yuchal yidav derech hafuah. So this is the convergence, with this we conclude, of the two topics, the two last topics that we just did. This quote, Lo Dayacha, the Yerushalmi in the Darim. That's the Yerushalmi in the Darim that the Ran quotes when he tries to explain that a noder is ki'ilabon abama, and that the Rambam quotes in Shemona Prakim, when he wants to tell you you have to balance out, the golden mean, the derech hamelech, he quotes this loda, he says it's one of the most amazing mamare chazal, loda yecha masha asra Torah. Rabbeinu Yonah, who was nota to a more ascetic lifestyle, and who thought that Prushim weren't just isolated, but that there was value to Tahara, and who provingly quotes the Yerushalmi about 1 week during the year, not necessarily even only Aseres Yemei Tshuva. He just wants you to know that it has to be proportional to your life, Lo Dayacha. Okay. What emerges, and there's much more evidence about this in other contexts as well, is a very interesting argument about the role of Taharas in Chulin and the value and status of Tahara in general. So next week we'll continue. I want to talk a little bit about, for 5 minutes, about Chulin al Taharas HaKodesh in light of this, how we paskin and what it might mean, or what the scope of it is. And then we're going to move on, talk a little bit about Cherev Kecholim, but we did last year in Bava Kama, so we don't need to speak about it much. And then whether you need a klishares for Chulin Shechita and for Kachim Shechita. That's the Gemara on Gimel Amud Aleph. Okay.